Cierta actriz americana lleva un tiempo viviendo en Madrid, dejando a un lado que lleva una vida completamente disipada. Tenemos motivos suficientes para pensar que en su casa se están produciendo reuniones peligrosas.
And if you think, let's commence the press conference, okay? We've got the cast and crew of Arde Madrid, series presented in the official section of the San Sebastian Film Festival this year. And we've got amongst us, starting in the corner, Domingo Corral, who's the director of the original production of film and series of Movistar Plus. We've got the director Paco León, the scriptwriter Ana Costa, and the actors Julián Villagrán, Mibar Cuesta, Ken Appledorn, and Didi Marshall, Ava Gardner, she was about to say. So if you want, let's start with the questions. We don't have a lot of time, so therefore, hands up, please, ask questions.
Le pasamos el micrófono. Sí.
Hola, muy buenas.
Hi, good. Well, welcome, and congratulations for the TV series, which I liked it very much, or the film series. I would like to know, Paco, Babo, what was it to launch yourself into this series, TV series, and why? Why do you insisted? Why did you want to form part of this project? Well, this project started in our head, well, started in our minds, shall we say. Contemplating something very interesting was happening on pay TV, and different things could be done, a different type of TV series, and we could probably, it could be similar to film and have a narrative which is a bit more extensive. Anna and I were thinking about what we could tell, what story we could tell. We wanted to do a project together until this story emerged out of the blue, that it started from the anecdote of when Ava Gardner was living in Madrid. And the General Perón was the neighbor downstairs. And so therefore, what happened was that sometimes when he was saying his speeches, preparing his return to Argentina, Miss Ava Gardner said, "Perón, you bastard, you queer, you fag," and so forth. This gave us an idea of what relationships those two historical characters, when they got together in Madrid at that time, and we started to research and we started to get very excited about that context and that Madrid Dolce Vita that existed at that time, and therefore we started to work. First of all, researching, informing ourselves a lot, and also talking about people who had lived about that Madrid of that, and who had met Ava Gardner and been at those parties and attended those parties. So therefore, we looked for a boyfriend for the series. It wasn't easy, but we found the best. And so therefore, the best is the most appropriate at a given time. And thanks to Movistar, that's what I meant, Movistar Plus, that give us the opportunity to make the series that we wanted to make. And these are a series of eight half-hour black and white episodes. It wants to be different. It's a bit risky because it's not similar to any other series, neither it imitates any other successful series. It's trying to find something which is original, and from that standpoint, it's been a great. We've enjoyed ourselves. We've worked completely free, and we've done what we wanted to do, more or less, and make what we wanted to make. And now all we need is for people to like it, and then that would be just fantastic. We'd be super happy then. I'm not too sure whether Domingo and Anna want to add anything else because you've in the answer he talked about you, Anna. Well, apart from Ava Gardner is not the protagonist. The protagonists are her servants. And then the confluence, the convergence of those two universes, which is the elite and those artists who were enjoying of a Spain that wasn't the Spain of the majority of the people, and to get together with those servants who do belong to a humble or to the proletariat, for example, enabled us to tell everything because seeing crossing both sides, it tells what really was the Spain that the majority were living at that time. Okay, Paco, Ana, hi. Last week, comedies are now 30-minute dramas. I'd like to know whether Arde Madrid is a drama, is it a dramatic film or comedy? It's got more of one or the other. Okay, essentially it's a comedy, but not because we pretend to do so, because our perspective on things make it work out the way. I would like to do a dramatic film, but it doesn't come out ever, does it? We never, we don't. So So comedy comes out of us. Well, that's our stuff. That's what we do. Well, I think, yeah, we were saying that comedy is like it's intrinsic to us. We're not only looking for humor as an objective in mind, but we want to make or make you laugh. But we're trying to tell a story, and sometimes laughter is the easiest path and authentic way to achieve it. But nevertheless, it's also got its dramatic moments and thriller and a bit of everything. So in Arte Madrid, you've got a bit of everything, just like life itself. Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations to all of you for your work. And to Movie Star also, plus for, as you said, for have the courage to make a series in black and white for TV in 2018. That is something never heard of before. I love it because black and white is like almost prohibited for young people, and taking full advantage of that, could you? And you're allowing to see that style of filmmaking. I don't like a series, but a TV series. But I was going to see one or two episodes on the armchair, and I left it at 1:45 in the morning. So I saw it all in one go, practically. So you think that you've made something very beautiful and interesting. So therefore, and also the characters, for example, and the actors. I would like to ask you though, as it's something completely new, and you're usually successful when you get into new fields. When you made your first film, you distributed on all the possible platforms and so on, and everyone got angry at you, but you were very successful. And now, in black and white, so you're making a TV series in black and white, so what do you expect vis-a-vis audience and the people who are going to watch it? Well, innovation for me is like a game, that is to say, and now many things are being readdressed, and I think it's up to us, because we've got the opportunity now to inventing and opening up new paths, distribution with Camino and Black and White, for example, with new narratives, with new Cinevision and the mixture of cinema or film and television, the expectations vis-a-vis this series, well, that is, personally, on a personal level, what we have conceived Arde Madrid as a series which has a potentially large audience, and the world is the potential audience for national products. That is to say, a couple of years, like a few days about to think, or that a film or a series can be seen throughout the world, being a national film was unthought of. Now it's possible, and I believe that this series has an interest for Avogadro, because of Peron, because of how we portray Spain. It might be interesting for the rest of the world, and so Movie Star also believes it. It's opening up new paths in Latin America, and I hope it's successful here. It'd be great, and I hope the rebound effect would mean it could be seen in many other different countries. I like Santa Claus, and I think, let's hope Santa Claus brings a nice gift. Another question?
In English, in honor of Debbie Massat and Avogadro.
Come on, give me a question. Un pregunto, come on. Por favor. Okay.
Talking about Ava Gardner, although I appreciate she is not the central character is the one played by Emma Cuesta, it seemed to me that the portrait of Ava Gardner was very interesting in that she was such an epic figure by night. But instead of that, you show her with a profoundly humanistic vision of what she was as a more intimate person, and an example, I think, to many people of how one can use liberty to encourage other people to be freer if they want. This could be answered by Debbie or cualquier persona que esté.
Well,
I mean, I think that was really the point for what I liked about it, because I wasn't really interested ever in playing a celebrity, you know, from a Hollywood icon past. But she was so layered in terms of her life, her interests, her loves. You know, she was an intellectual. She had great husbands. I mean, Artie Shaw, Mickey Rooney, Frank Sinatra, great lovers. And you know, she was sensitive. I mean, she left Los Angeles, she left South Carolina, she was adventurous, but she didn't want to be in Hollywood anymore. And it was great that she came to Madrid and she felt free there. So I was really grateful for Ana and Paco to write such a rich character that shows her vulnerability, her passion, you know, her drinking, her eating, like, you know, she was raw. And it was challenging because I had to do it in Castellano. So that wasn't easy at my moments where I had to sound like I was from Madrid, which I loved. It was very challenging for me.
Estaba pensando tal vez que igual el resto de...
I was thinking that perhaps the rest of the actors, as it's a, the main characters, well, the supporting actors have a role. Can you talk about how you addressed your characters? Paco de Ron, I think it's the first time you direct yourself. Is that right? What was that process? Well, maybe I'm mistaken. No, in Kiki, I also direct myself, but the character was much smaller. I played a smaller role. Here, Manolo has a lot of sequences, appears in a lot of the scenes, and he's quite present. Nevertheless, I think the help of the external perspective of Ana, for Ana's look on it and a slant on it, and this is a phrase that isn't mine, it's from another director. It says, you've got one less person with whom to discuss, to argue with on set. And so you know who you are, and you keep going. So you let yourself go as an actor, which isn't a bad idea either. Well, let me talk. All right, I'm going to talk. Better said, I would like, first of all, above all, to highlight that it's being a gift to have Debbie Mazar as Ava Gardner, portraying Ava Gardner. Apart from her talent and her beauty, she's been very generous, and it was very difficult what she had to do, not only because she had to portray Ava Gardner, but because it was very difficult because of language issues and many other things. And it's been a true gift to have us here, because she's a funny and generous woman, and she's done an incredible job. Apart from that, do you get it? Right. Did you hear all that? Lovely. And as regards to the relationship with the characters, indirectly with Ana Mari has with Manolo, for example, I think it's very beautiful, the range of the register and my character, for example, her freedom, Ava's freedom, and she devours life that she interprets every time, that celebration of joy and life, etc. You've got Ana Mari, who's the counterpoint, really, and there, thanks to her freedom and what she sees in Ava's character, how she at a given moment, there's a moment and when they there's a meeting point, and she opens an enormous door towards her life, and she goes from being an emotional or asexual person that doesn't know how to read, and she discovers everything all of a sudden. And I think that's very beautiful, that meeting point between these two different women. There's a moment where they meet and they readdress absolutely everything.
To anybody on the table, but it seems to me that whilst the series has, bueno, lo digo en español.
No.
No, okay, I would. Whilst the series has a very modern and light feminist gaze at the female characters, at the same time, it's inscribed in the great Spanish comedy tradition of Rafael Azcona and Luis Berlanga. I wonder if anybody could comment on that and tell me I'm totally wrong.
No, you're not wrong. Berlanga and Azcona were our references We like them very much. We like their work very much. And they've always been there. We've always looked at them saying, I wish we were similar to them in some way or not. But vis-a-vis the characters, the feminine characters that you were talking about, well, at least it seems that it's a series where the female characters are stronger, they are much more active than the male characters. So therefore, that's a perspective from nowadays, albeit it's a story that takes place in 1961. I think that it's important that the creators who are in the here and now, the perspective should be, the slant should be taken from now, and we got to make sure that you don't notice the message explicitly, but we want it to be from the coherence of the characters. That's how we should tell the story, I believe. The truth is, Azcona and Berlanga, yes, well, they made something that fascinates us, and we think it's the most complicated thing in the world. And we're also talking about the power of comedy, that it's something which is apparently light and almost left to one side, and it's not important. It tells the most important thing, how it can portray all of Spain with a welcome Mr. Marshall, or with Plácido, or El Verdugo. These are oh, hey, what a coward. This guy's very real coward, that he doesn't want to kill somebody. And he's basically telling you the toughest thing, and the most naked, shall we say, portrayal of the Spain of that time. But that quality of upon an appearance which seems to be lighthearted and very light, and a comedy to tell deep things, poetic things, and also real things that took place, is something that we always are after and trying to find very much.
¿Hemos alguna pregunta?
Any questions over there? Hi. Congratulations to all of you for the series. It's fantastic. I've got a couple of questions. The first would be the rehearsal and the preparation. How much was improvised and how much was stuck straight to the screenplay and in the rehearsals, or what we saw in the final result? Whoever can answer to that. And the second is, I've got the feeling that the ending is a bit more closed, but it gives rise to a series of plots that aren't closed, for example, Ima Cuesta, vis-a-vis espionage, and so on and so forth. Whether it's addressed as a mini-series or it's a series that's going to have it's going to be extended, or we're going to see more out of the Madrid. Thank you very much. That's what I'm referring to.
No.
Answer the first question, and I'll answer the second, yeah. And we'll see. Well, okay, the script is 100% as it is, but we agreed in the script there are a series of moments in the series. There are moments which were thought of to be improvised. So, and that was the case, and that's the way we did it, because we thought that depending upon the moment, it would be much richer, it'd be much more interesting address this play and to give themselves into play like little girls to improvise a Debbie, for example, in Spanish or in English or whatever, and Emma, the same thing. So all the actors, and in the improvisation moments, being very courageous and very brave, but on the other hand, the script is 100% as it is, okay? And the rest, well, the rest, what you asked, the other, what about that issue about continuing? We're very glad. If Paco and Anna, they want, we will do a second season. So it would be great, but we'd be glad with the first one, what we've already handed over, and our will is to make another one, but they've got to do it, okay, Paco and Anna. Well, it's a good sign that before it's premiered, no one's seen it. They're already asking for another season. So, okay, if it's not just yours and more people agree with that, that would be great as well. I think we will make it. Yes, I think, good, we've got positive vibes, so let's hope so. A question also for Debbie and for Ken, be a reminder, it's a series which rotates around a certain cultural, historical collision or sort of shock. How have you felt in the shooting of the film with the team in Spanish coming from abroad? Oh, I had a great time. For me, the truth is, I've acted more in Spanish than in English. Most of my training audiovisually is done in Spain, apart from being your typical foreigner. For me, it was a pleasure to play a role in English, and with a great actress like Debbie by my side, well, it was great. It was a great illusion for me. It was great. It was a dream come true.
I mean, I'm from New York, so I grew up, you know, in a neighborhood where it's Puerto Rican, Cuban, Dominican, Mexican. And to come to Spain, the only issue I had was that Paco said that I sounded like Puerto Rican when in my audition. So I went to school and, you know, just to study the Castilian accent and just to be comfortable in it. And it was just so much fun for me, because it was, as an actor, we want to try to do different things. The other thing for me is that I, not only did I have to lose my Puerto Rican accent, I had to lose my New York accent. I'm from Brooklyn, and you know, my voice is a typical New York accent. And Ava Gardner, she was from South Carolina via Los Angeles, where she had her elocution lessons and had to, you know, be very neutral and theatrical and, you know, class it up. So it was interesting for me, but it was so much fun. Occasionally I would hear myself slip into one of my accents, and that was hard, but the best part was just getting the spirit of the madrileños, the people here, and working in Spanish, and their energy is very, very different from anything I've ever done, I must say. See, wonderful.
Oh, and Paco's not normal either. He's so, he creates a family environment, and he lets us be creative.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like something, he'll say no. But if he does like it, go with it. Have fun. Play. So it was a pleasure to work
Plus,
with Paco.
To understand Paco, his face is so elastic that it's very easy to understand him. You could see the wheels spinning as he's talking all the time. So when I first met him, it was via Skype. And I was like all nervous, and I sat down at my desk, and I had the computer up here just so I wouldn't have double chins and keep my... and we started talking, and I was so comfortable that at one point I had a hairpiece on. I ripped off my hairpiece. I threw it down. I said, look, this is me naturally. Just to show him what I was like. But he understood me. I understood him. He was a Christian here, and we had a really fun conversation.
So it was...
Yeah, we fell in love. We fell in love straight away. love at first sight. That's the attitude we wanted. I want to hear Julian say something. Julian, what have you got to say? In your role, I think your role was heaps of fun. It looked fun, and focusing upon Spanish tradition. It's almost like an extension of a typical Spain. I say this very positively, nevertheless. Could you talk about your role? I'm very shy to talk in public. Well, what can I say? Ad, you're a very attractive actor, and you've got, yes, thank you, sister. But anyway, the truth is, I feel honored to form part of this project. The truth is, I'm the family, I'm a relative almost, or a family member of these creators, of both of them. And the truth is, they don't stop surprising me. I've known them for many, many years, and it's incredible how every day they surprise me more and more because of the talent they have. And to call me to form part of this project, well, made me very happy. It's a dream come true. So therefore, I don't know, it was very comfortable. It was marvelous at the same time, because they've created a team and a crew. And to be in a project like this, where everyone believes and gives everything they have and put this in the project to create that energy, which is beautiful, and which is, the truth is, it's very difficult to find this, and work in a family, it was a gift. This is because of the lunches that I make for every Sunday for you. Is that why you're saying? I want to say something about Flor and Julian's character, and also by extension to the men in this series, that all of a sudden there's something poetic in Florin's character, who is a schizophrenic, basically, and there's almost something metaphorical, and they say, what's happening to men in the men in these series, and which is happening also, I believe, in our society and at present, and that is to say, the perplexity and the and when they men discover that women don't have to be saved from anywhere, and they don't have to be, nor are they seeking to get married, and they don't want any men to protect them. So what do we do? So what's our job now all of a sudden as being a man? So therefore, you know, Florin sees Ava Gardner and he says, she's on her own, she's drunk. This woman needs someone to pick her up and save her. I've got to marry her, I've got to save her. Can't anybody see that? And I mean, so it's... The two brothers-in-law, you know, Manolo and Florin, for example, these are the men who appear in the series. They're in a bit the same situation. They're surprised and saying, well, they don't understand very well what happens when women take control and empower themselves, and they're able, and they don't need men to exist. Okay. Well, that final reflection, I think it's fantastic. It's perfect to close the press conference. They've got to present the film at the Velodromo. Good luck to all of you. I hope the series goes well. Thank you.